You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
In its throne speech 2 weeks ago, the BC government says it wants to make the province a clean energy powerhouse and that private power generation is the way forward. Joe Foy says BC Hydro is already one of the cleanest power producers in the world and we need to keep it in public hands. Joe Foy is campaign director for the Wilderness Committee and he joins me on the line this morning. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Now, the throne speech came about a month after the BC Utilities Commission rejected BC Hydro's long-term power acquisition plan. Why did the BCUC reject the plan?
Well, the BCUC rejected the plan because though they're set up by government, they are a public watchdog. And when they began to look at the issue of the expanding influence of private power, they found that the private power purchases made by the government were extraordinarily expensive, of low value, and not needed, and therefore recommended that the government follow a policy of conservation, of upgrading existing facilities, and of keeping Burrard Thermal in place, much like you keep a spare tire in the trunk of your car for emergencies.
I wanted to ask you about Burrard Thermal because it's been much batted around what the role of that particular generating station is.
Well, Burrard Thermal, I've likened it to a spare tire. You could also say Burrard Thermal, it's a massive power station, but it's a bit like the Honda generator that people keep in their basements in case the main power goes out. If you were to go to Burrard Thermal today, you'd see it's not running. In fact, it doesn't run on the vast majority of days. I think last year it ran about 3% of its capability. It's there. It primarily kicks in on some days in the winter when power use is very high and we may peak, or when there's an emergency. The government spun the BCUC decision as if the BCUC was suggesting that we run Burrard Thermal full out every day, and that's just a gross misinterpretation of the BCUC findings.
So it's a kind of a red herring then?
Well, it's an absolute red herring. What the BCUC said was it makes no sense to be buying expensive run-of-river power from the private companies in order to replace Burrard Thermal, because it can't replace Burrard Thermal. Run-of-river power basically runs, produces when the river is running, and during the winter time, most of the capacity of these things are frozen up, so they're just not able to replace the kind of spare tire role that Burrard Thermal plays. Plus, run-of-river, once you put one in place, its environmental damage is happening every day, all the time, whereas Burrard Thermal is turned off most of the time.
So we can't use the run-of-the-river power in the winter?
Well, we can, but there's a typical run-of-river produces very much less power in the winter than it produces, for instance, during the spring melt. And that's problematic because during the spring melt is exactly when the BC Hydro facilities are at their max. Their reservoirs are filled up. So it means that we can find ourselves in a situation of BC Hydro buying run-of-river power at $80 a megawatt hour and then having to turn around and sell it to the Americans because they can't use it at $20 a megawatt hour. In other words, we end up buying high and selling low.
Why is run-of-the-river power so expensive?
Well, run-of-the-river power is so expensive because what you're doing is building power plants in remote mountain rivers. It reminds me of some of the logging we've seen lately, where the main sites of logging, for logging, the low elevation sites have been logged out, and companies are getting higher and higher on the mountains. This increases their expenses. Run of river is no different. You have these smaller plants scattered throughout the mountains, requiring very long power lines, a spider web of power lines, many roads, pipelines, blasting. Can be quite expensive to put in. And what doesn't help matters is that the public has no ability to participate in the negotiation that the government has with these run-of-river folks. So you get contracts, some of them lasting for as much as 40 years, for rates far above market rates. And those contracts are secret. You and I aren't allowed to see them.
Now, the BCUC said that we don't need the amount of power that BC Hydro has committed to in those contracts that you were just talking about. What's driving BC Hydro to sign these contracts?
Well, we call BC Hydro is an excellent organization, and BC Hydro is a crown corporation, which means it is ultimately run by the government in power. So BC Hydro is a proud corporation, organization, publicly owned, with a long history and a great deal of knowledge. But that knowledge is no good when it has a government ordering it to do essentially what will eventually kill it off. And that's what's happening here. We've got the provincial government ordering it to buy very expensive, very low-quality power. And it may come as a shock for your listeners to hear that Hydro has already signed $31 billion of these contracts with private power developers, forcing it to buy high and sell low. That's almost larger than the provincial debt. And if some of the bigger projects go through, like Butte Inlet or Glacier Hauser, that will push the total value of these long-term project contracts to higher than the provincial debt. It's a big, big environmental problem, and it's a big, big financial problem at a time when we don't need financial problems.
So it's expensive power. It damages the environment. And the BCUC said, we don't need it.
Well, that's right. And the BCUC is not the first ones to step up to the plate. That happened back in 2006 when the regional district government of Squamish-Lillooet, the community government there, refused to permit or grant a permit for the construction of a private power plant on the Ashlew. Now, how the government reacted was it simply went in and passed Bill 30, which was an omnibus bill. It contained a lot of items. But one of the items buried in it was a regulation removing the right of all local governments in the province to zone for private power, to say yes or no to them. So they essentially stripped the Squamish-Lillooet Regional District from their ability to say no, and at the same time they did that for all community governments across the province. That was a pretty clear message to anyone who would get in their way what would happen. Well, now the BCUC has essentially done the same thing. It said the government's privatization scheme makes no sense environmentally, makes no sense financially.
Should BC be exporting power at all, do you think?
Well, I think BC needs to. It makes sense to export some power. I think the important question is, should BC's electrical generation plan be based on self-sufficiency or based on export? And we at the Wilderness Committee and many environmental groups and other organizations believe that we should have a self-sufficiency program. We do now, although the government's making noises, it wants to change to move in to be major exporters of electricity. And to us, that would really hurt our ability to fight climate change, to set an example of how to fight climate change, because what it does is it takes you away from conservation and puts you on a track of more and more power production and more power consumption. We say that's the exact wrong way to go.
So what kind of an energy policy would you, do you think would make more sense then to address climate change?
Well, I mean, what I've been focusing on right now is all the problems, but I think we need to focus on our successes. BC Hydro, a publicly owned power production company, is one of the top cleanest, lowest greenhouse gas emitting power companies on the planet. It is a tremendous success, and for extra bonus points, it's publicly owned. We should take that competitive advantage in our view. It's a tremendous public policy tool because we the people can then say, how should that clean energy be used? Currently, the provincial government is talking about running a power line into the northwest of the province so that that electrical energy can be used to open up a new coal mine, several new coal mines. We think that that's a wrong-headed policy, that that clean energy should be tied to issues such as expansion of the public transit system, electrified public transit system. We argue that we should drop the multi-billion dollar freeway and bridge expansion and port expansion program and really focus heavily on an electrified public transit system in the metro area where half the people of the province live. It's through integrating our publicly owned power, electrical power production system with other policies such as transportation, where 40% of our greenhouse gases are emitted, that we can make real improvements and therefore give a real good example to the world.
Is there a role for other forms of clean energy, such as wind or solar or geothermal?
There is absolutely a role. We would like to see that role with BC Hydro, with publicly owned, and that can mean community owned. It can mean First Nations owned in partnership with BC Hydro for all these things, where a holistic where it's looked at holistically. So if there's a community, could be a First Nations community or might not be First Nations, but might be a community with limited economic development potential, certainly Hydro, even though the power might be expensive, should be partnering up with that community, providing capital to allow those projects to go forward. Hydro could make sure there was a fair balance so that the system didn't go broke, unlike what's happening now where we're seeing a virtual gold rush in every stream and creek in the province. In this way, Hydro could move us forward so that we get some additional experience and working plants both in wind, geothermal, and smaller hydro across the province. We think that's a good way to go. The privatization, the willy-nilly gold rush on our streams and rivers with virtually no environmental oversight or financial oversight is something that the BCUC is trying to pull back on and unplug, and I think that's exactly what needs to happen.
Thanks very much for talking to me this morning, Joe.
Well, thank you for giving us the opportunity.
I've been speaking with Joe Foy. He's campaign director for the Wilderness Committee.